Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Although stories vary, pan de muerto, the bread of the dead, has roots in Mesoamerica when a type of bread using amaranth honey and human blood was offered to the gods for a successful harvest. Today's episode is all about the origins of pan dulce.
My name is Eva Longoria.
And I am Maite Gomez-Rejon.
And welcome to
Hungry for History,
a podcast that explores our past and present through food.
On every episode, we'll talk about the history of some of our favorite dishes, ingredients, and beverages.
So make yourself at home.
Y buen provecho.
I love pan dulce. By the way, I'm not a sweet... I'm not a sweet person.
You're not?
I don't like cakes and cookies and cupcakes, and I'm not a sweet person. But pan dulce, specifically the concha for me, is my weakness.
Really? Mm-hmm. I do love conchas. But I have a sweet tooth.
You like sweets.
I love sweets. Mm-hmm. If you offer me a taco or a cookie.
Oh, you will take the cookie?
100% of the time.
Wow. I'll take the taco.
Yeah.
If you know when there's chocolate on your bed in a hotel?
Yeah.
My husband's like, oh my God, mine. And I'm like, have it.
Really?
I have zero desire for that.
No, I'm with Pepe. No.
You're going to eat
I'll
the chocolate.
I'll fight with him. Yeah.
You'll fight for the chocolate.
Fight for the chocolate.
I like buñuelos and conchas. That's what I grew up with. Conchas and buñuelos. I mean, that was pretty much those two things. I didn't know that Mexico has over 2,000 variations of pan dulce.
It's crazy. Because even like the croissants or the cuernitos, there's some, what's the region, where the British miners, I think it's in sort of central Mexico, there were British miners working in the oil industry, and they were making cookies with molasses and ginger and cinnamon, gingerbread cookies. And that region has a cookie. Oh, yeah, a gingerbread cookie called chichimbre.
One. Yes, I know
it's
this
like
one.
It's a gingerbread chichimbre.
Yes.
You know this cookie?
I know that cookie. Yeah.
It's from the gingerbread.
And I always said that. I go, this tastes like a gingerbread cookie, but it's a little more moist. It's not as crunchy.
Because it's they use the piloncillo instead of molasses.
Okay.
So that's probably
so
what it
piloncillo is a natural sugar.
Yeah.
It's from sugarcane.
It's sugar, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I like could a, eat that as a candy when I was little.
Oh, really?
The piloncillo. And I just had so much of it.
When you were in Mexico?
In Mexico.
Yeah.
But it's so good because it's so natural.
It is. It's so good.
What kind
of? Yeah, there's so many different kinds of pan dulce. Yeah, 2,000 kinds of pan dulce.
There must be more too. What pan dulce did you grow up with?
Probably conchas also. My grandmother, my dad's mom, was from Yucatan, and she was a baker. So she had a bakery in Nuevo Laredo called Panificadora Yucatan. And so she died when I was two, but my dad used to make her bread. And he used to make these breads called bolas suizas. It's like a sweet bread, just with butter and egg, like an eggy bread. So he used to make this bread all the time. So it was that, or my mom, we used to go to Nuevo Laredo and buy orejas, which are the French palmiers.
Yes.
So it was the orejas. Ears. It was conchas and it was cuernitos, which is like the croissant.
Yeah.
And we always had them. My dad also always had like the biggest sweet tooth and he used to dip it in the hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to call it, because he was from Yucatan.
Oh,
and
so that's a big Merida thing.
Yeah. It's a big Merida thing.
Yeah.
And that act of dipping is called chuk in Mayan. So it was always like, and even today it's like, I have the concha with, no, I'll usually have it with coffee. You do chuk in the hot chocolate.
I was amazed because when I was old enough to understand what the concha was, I just loved the concha. What a big French influence the concha is. I mean, it's brioche. It's brioche.
Yeah, yeah.
Mexican with a streusel kind of topping that's scored.
Exactly. And it's like a
fluffy butter brioche.
Yeah, and it's called a concha because that little cookie crust that you just mentioned, it looks like a shell, like a little seashell.
A seashell, which that's what concha means. So where was pan dulce in Mexico invented? Because to me it has such colonial roots.
It's absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
So after the conquest?
After the conquest, bread is a direct consequence of the Spanish conquest.
Okay.
Right? It's wheat, it's bread, 100%. And even like by 1525, which is really early, right? Conquest is 1519 to 21. By ordinance of Hernán Cortés, the conqueror Hernán Cortés, bread was sold at fixed prices. And so the native population didn't like bread. They found it, you know, bland and they preferred, you know, their corn. But it took on, and there's this legend that in 1500s, the Spanish viceroy dipped his bread, maybe his day-old bread. Dipped it in hot chocolate in front of a crowd, and a habit was born.
Well, I feel like also the bread is super French influenced.
Absolutely.
If you think of the torta ahogadas in Jalisco, direct descendant of the baguette. I mean, direct descendant, but they've improved upon it and have made a whole different birote, right? Birote?
Yeah.
Yeah. Birote, that's a really good bread. But all of that brioche and all of the pan dulce seems like a direct consequence of the French colonization and the French influence.
The French influence. Absolutely. It was first, but the bakeries were already there. Like 1600s, it was definitely already a culture, right? And some convents were making flour and baking, and this is where a lot of Mexican cuisine really involved was in convents, especially sweets, you know, and then the Jewish influence with the anise and the agua de azar. But then, like you said, you know, as with the 19th century independence, we start seeing a wave of French colonists coming into Mexico. But even before them, we have Emperor Maximilian. This is this brief rule of Maximilian.
Yeah, yeah.
And he introduced the sort of vanille kefir, which were the Mexican, the polvorones. It's this little little, the Mexican wedding cookie, right? The little polvorones. That is an Austrian, you know, cookie that then became Mexican. But with the French intervention, we start seeing tons of bakeries popping up. And then, of course, with the Porfirio Diaz, who was the leader of Mexico for so many decades, and he was a total Francophile under his regime in the 1800s. I mean, bakeries and early 1900s.
Bakeries were owned by Spanish or French.
Bakeries were owned by Spanish or French, yeah.
I mean, 90% of them, because you couldn't really, as an indigenous or Mexican,
You couldn't really own anything.
Really where it all came from.
Yeah, exactly. But then the people that worked there, the artisans, I mean, the owners were European, right? But the people that worked there were using these European, you know, the brioche became, you know, the concha, and the chichimbre, right? The gingerbread, the cuernito
was exactly a croissant.
It's exactly a croissant. Yeah. It's just a slightly different. It's going to taste different because the flour is different, right? But it's just so inventive, just so imaginative, all of these different flavors.
Well, I feel like the pan dulce is where you see most of the colonial imprint.
Mm-hmm.
It's physically in front of you.
Yeah.
After the break, we're going to keep this sweet talk going.
You don't want to miss it.
Diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we can't talk about Day of the Dead or Día de los Muertos without talking about Pan de Muerto. Mm-hmm. What's Pan de Muerto?
Pan de Muerto is also basically a brioche bread. Mm-hmm. So the idea of this bread has roots in Mesoamerica, right? When, you know, pre-conquest, when they would make types of bread, amaranth.
What's amaranth?
Amaranth is it's a tiny little seed that's native to Mexico. Also sacred. Also, it's kind of like quinoa.
Oh.
But it's a tiny little grain that if you heat it up, it pops like popcorn. But it's teeny, tiny.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about now.
Do you know those, the alegrías?
Yes, the little bars.
The little bars with honey. And sometimes they put a little blood in there to offer it to the gods, right? So in, you know, for a successful harvest, you know, for a new year.
For rain,
to appease the gods for whatever reason. So this whole idea of like, you know, blood, right? You associate it with life and you also associate it with death, right? And it's this sort of human kind of sacrifice that makes people kind of uncomfortable. But we see that this was sort of part of the culture. And sometimes it was human blood, sometimes it was animal blood, sometimes it was cochinilla, sometimes it was just dye. So of course, with the conquest, they were doing that with the body and blood of Christ, right? It's the same thing. It's just one is metaphorical, one is more literal, but it's essentially the same thing. And it's a way for people to understand the sort of cycle of life, you know, and death. Mm-hmm. And converting everybody to Christianity was one of the main, you know, missions, you know, post-conquest. And so there were certain celebrations around the time of Day of the Dead. So Day of the Dead is November 1st and 2nd, right? The day for the kids and then the day for the adults. And people go, it's like Coco,
the movie,
which is so beautiful.
You put all the offerings on the altar, the altera, of their favorite things.
Their favorite foods,
Their tequila, you know, their tamales. But when did the Pan de Muerto come
The Pan de Muerto is pretty also early on with this festival. And I don't know if you've noticed, because you can only buy the Pan de Muerto like right around the time.
During the time. It's super seasonal.
Super seasonal.
Yeah.
And I had only ever seen growing up the round bread, right? Mm-hmm. And the circle.
Yeah.
It's like a little concha, right? Like a brioche, but it has the agua de asad. It has more flavors. The circle represents this circle of life and death. Mm-hmm. And on the top of it has another little ball, right? Like the little circle on top. Mm-hmm. And that represents the skull. And then it has the crossbones. And each section in between the skull and crossbones is the cardinal, you know, directions. And one of them represents Quetzalcoatl, the god of the sun. And then Xipetotec is the god of death and rebirth. And Xipetotec is a super interesting god because they would like skin sacrificial victims and the priest would wear this skin. And so another section represents Tlaloc, the god of rain. Another one represents the god of darkness. So it's this super ritualistic bread. You're offering it in the altars with the hot chocolate, with the tequila, with whatever. But it has such roots in indigenous ceremonies.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also say it's the top also, other than representing the bones, represents a grave.
Oh, the top instead of the, okay.
Yeah, it's the bones and then the bread is the grave.
Okay.
And the bones represent the deceased one, or like the bones are coming out of the grave. That's why the bola,
the ball on top,
is a teardrop.
And I've heard that the sugar, that sometimes it's sprinkled with sugar, that those are the tears.
Have you eaten pan de muertos?
Yeah, I get it every year.
You do get it.
Okay. I do get it every year.
Yeah.
I don't really offer it to anybody. I don't offer it. I just eat it. But I know that, you know, but I know a lot of people that actually make altars in their home every year.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a big, you know, it's
yeah, but
it's
the pan de muerto is a big one. Such a big pan dulce. Pan de muerto is such a iconic pan dulce. It's so interesting. It's only around that day because it's so good. It's soft and spongy.
It's delicious.
So delicious.
It's so special. Like, you have to wait. I always get cempasúchil, the marigold flowers, because this is the flower that they use so that the
that supposedly has a scent.
It has a really strong scent.
It has a scent, the marigolds.
The marigolds. And it's so bright that it's supposed to help light the way.
The spirit's home.
Yeah.
Light the spirit.
It's so beautiful.
The road for the spirit's home.
Yeah.
Well, and because it's like a citrus-infused essence of orange blossom.
The orange blossom.
To bring back the sweet memories of loved ones. Well, you know, during the pandemic, I was a big croissant maker.
That's right.
Yeah.
I
passed sourdough. That was so many years ago. I moved on to croissants, but I wanted to
make the cuernitos.
Oh, it's 3 days. It takes 3 days to make croissants. Yeah. Three days. And the great thing is, even when you fuck it up, it tastes so good. Like, it didn't rise the right way. It didn't, I'm like, oh, it didn't proof well that day because it was cold in the kitchen. Like, so many things can go wrong at every stage. Mm-hmm. The butter didn't incorporate well. So you see the chunks. I'm like, damn it. But you bake it and it's heaven.
And it's going to be.
Doesn't even matter. It's just heaven. But I wanted to make the cuernitos.
Yeah.
And I never did. And I should have. I could have just dipped it in sugar.
Because they're similar. I feel like the cuernitos are a little denser than the croissant. Am I wrong?
Super, super dense.
They are, right?
To me, it tastes like a day-old croissant.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little harder.
I took a concha-making class.
Did you?
Online. There's this amazing baker in Mexico City that we're actually going to talk to for this. He's going to send us a little message. Eliseo Lara. And I've taken a few classes. I took a rosca class, rosca de Reyes. That's my favorite holiday is rosca de Reyes.
By the way, I wasn't ever a fan of a rosca de Reyes, which is the cake, also a brioche base.
It's also a brioche. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the cookie crust.
It looks like a wreath.
Uh-huh. It's a crown.
It is a crown.
Yeah.
And you eat it for the Three King Day.
For the Three King, January 6th.
January 6th. And you bake a baby Jesus inside of it.
Yeah.
Or many.
Yeah.
Apparently.
You put a few plastic baby Jesus.
And what happens if you get the baby Jesus?
You were supposed to throw a party on Dia de Candelaria, which is February 12th. Mm. And you throw a party and you host like a tamalada. But I feel like after that, January 6th, like
You never followed up?
I've never heard anybody follow up. It's like the holidays are over after January 6th.
I went to go buy
the rosca.
The rosca. And literally the packaging was like, 6 baby Jesus included. Like, that was like a selling point.
It's a selling point.
That they didn't have one. It had 6. 6 chances. 6 chances. I was like, that is
that's
funny.
So funny.
But you took a class to make
it. I took a class last year to make. This is the first year that I made it from. Actually, 1 year, many years ago, my mom and I and my dad made it. But it was basically a rock. It was a disaster.
Yeah, it could be easily.
Yeah. But I also took a concha class with him. It was called Concha Claus. So it was like a little Santa Claus shape. I'll have to show you pictures. Basically, the little concha, instead of the concha, it was like a little Santa Claus face with the cookie. It was the cutest thing. But it was the brioche, and it's a process. You have to roll and tuck and roll and tuck, and it took like 3 hours. You had to let it rise. But it was biting into this.
Yeah.
It was like buttery air. Like, I was looking at these.
Yeah.
First of all, they were beautiful, the little Santa Clauses. And they were so delicious. It was like a cloud. Like, I couldn't believe that I'd made this. Well, I couldn't believe they were so delicious.
By the way, I grew up with 5-day-old conchas. Yeah. And I always thought conchas were hard. Because I was like, I love conchas, and they were hard.
Yeah.
Until I got to Mexico City with my husband, and I had a hot one. But by the way, this is my adult life. Like, this has just happened this
yesterday.
Year. Yeah. And it melted in my mouth, and I was like, what is it? They're like, it's a concha. And I'm like, but it's so soft, and it just melted. They're like, that's how you should eat them. I've been my whole life eating five-day-old conchas.
I think me too, actually.
Yeah.
But that concha that I made from a class that I took.
Yeah.
I was just like, what the hell is this? Like, where have you been all my life?
I need that recipe.
It's like puffy. I'll share it with you.
Not cinnamony. What makes it? There's a flavor inside of the
Well, sometimes bread. The ones that I made are just simple. But sometimes they have like anise in it.
Anise. That's what it is.
And that's another contribution of Sephardic Jewish bakers, right? So flour tortilla aside, there were a lot of bakers that were being hired from Spanish-owned bakeries who were Jewish, who were, you know, Sephardic Jews that had fled the Spanish Inquisition, and they brought their baking techniques and flavors with them. So the arrival of other products needed for bread baking laid the groundwork for an infinite number of breads. And this includes sugar cultivation, animal products such as lard and butter and chicken eggs. This made it possible to reproduce the sweet recipes of Arab and Jewish origin. So we owe things like anise seed and agua de azahar, which is the orange blossom water, and also sesame seeds to them. But yeah, conchas, man. Conchas are really good. After the break, we are going to hear from Eliseo Lara, a friend, amazing baker, cooking instructor based in Mexico City, who's also an amazing singer. Eliseo Lara will send us a message.
And he will be sharing a recipe with y'all.
Diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Here is Mexico City baker extraordinaire Eliseo Lara talking about pan dulce and his favorite childhood treat.
My name is Eliseo Lara. I am a baker from Mexico City. I've been baking now for many years, and I think I've spent maybe the last 10 years of my life to teaching how to make pan dulce, which is my specialty, of course, because there's nothing better than pan dulce in this world. I think the one bread that's been celebrated in many different ways is definitely conchas. Conchas, you know, is the most important bread in Mexico. You can find it everywhere from Tijuana to Cancun. The old school conchas, the bread is a little bit more acidic because of the long fermentation process. It's those conchas that remind you of the Mexican countryside. But in other places, in other bakeries, they're doing like really cool things. They're doing like different fusions with different techniques. You can find anything now from like chocolate lavender conchas or green tea matcha conchas, chai conchas, conchas with different fillings, conchas with like in a crazy different way of serving them, like manteconchas, that is a fusion of mantecadas and conchas, and is served in a cupcake liner. What's my favorite pan dulce? That's a very tough call, but one that's very, very meaningful to me, and it's one of my favorites ever since I was a kid, is rebanadas. Rebanadas literally translates to slices, and it's a very, very simple bread to make. You can just take any loaf of bread, then separately you would make a very simple buttercream. You would just have to use butter and powdered sugar. You're just going to mix those two, and you're going to do a thin layer of that buttercream on top of your bread. Then separately, you're going to take a little bit of regular granulated sugar, and you're going to put the bread with the side that has the buttercream is going to face the sugar. So it's going to stick to it, and it's going to leave a very thin, crunchy layer, a light sweetness. And that's, of course, the basic recipe. That's your bread ready to go with, you know, like café con leche. It would be delicious. I'm really happy that I live in a moment of Mexican food history where there's so much experimentation happening. I like to call this the pan dulce renaissance because everyone is doing like crazy cool things with pan dulce. And I feel quite lucky to be here now and watch it and eat it, of course.
Anybody listening to this episode who hasn't eaten a concha, I beg of you, march to the bakery right now and get a concha.
Get a concha.
That's my favorite thing in the world.
Concha,
but a fresh one. Ask fresh, what time they come out of the oven.
Yeah, and get them warm. Sometimes they're also really good. When I have like a day or two old concha, I'll slice them and toast them and put butter on them.
Oh my God, speaking of conchas, in Nuevo León.
Oh, wait, I thought I was going to say something else. But
In Veracruz,
yes,
they put the nata in it, which is,
yes,
basically a heavy cream. That was amazing. But in Monterrey, they put a cream cheese and jelly. They cut it open. They put a cream cheese and jelly inside and put it on the grill.
Oh.
And they grill it. It's a grill, you know, because Monterrey is all about carne asadas.
Yeah.
So they grill even their desserts, hasta the dessert.
Oh, wow.
And then in Mexico, they put beans, refried beans.
In the concha.
In the concha.
I've seen that.
Yeah. So this is a very versatile pan dulce.
It
this,
is.
This concha.
Yeah, that's kind of like this sweet and savory.
Yeah.
Have you tasted it?
Because I can't bring myself to put beans in my concha.
In your sweet,
in
yeah.
In my sweets. Even yeah. though I'm a savory, I'm an umami kind of person, like mix it all up, but no.
But no. In Yucatan, they make this hojaldre. It's called hojaldre, but it's basically like a puff pastry, but there's ham and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's like layers with ham and cheese, but then the top has a sugar crust.
Yeah.
And
there's
called
also
it
a huge Lebanese influence in desserts.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go to the bakery, there's, what's it called? That layered flaky thing. Baklava.
Baklava?
Is it? It might
the
be.
Little squares that are
squares,
layered flaky
yeah.
with honey?
Yes.
Yeah, that's baklava. Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
So much baklava in Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yes. So much Lebanese influence with the pan dulce as well. I'm so excited. So march over to your panaderia, your Mexican bakery, and get yourself a piece of pan dulce. Doesn't matter which
one.
Doesn't matter.
You know one thing that I was thinking, because I was getting pan dulce the other day, and it's different than, like you could go to a restaurant, order a cafe, and have your pan there, right, or your bread there, and it's amazing. But when you go to panaderia, you take it home.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about the pan dulce that's so cozy, because that's where you're eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Aspect of
well,
it.
Well, it's super French. That's what you do in France.
That's what you do in France. Yeah.
You grab your baguette and you go home.
Yeah.
You grab your croissant and you go home.
Yeah.
That's a super French
it's
influence.
It's a super French influence.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening and don't forget to subscribe.
Thank you. Bye everyone.
Hungry for History is an unbelievable entertainment production in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura podcast network.
For more of your favorite shows, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.